Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is you're listening to this. Brother John here is going to say a prayer for us, and we'll get this thing started.
Let's do it. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to just get to know you a little bit better. Thank you for giving us the curiosity to seek out your wisdom and to learn from you, Father God. Father, just give us the wisdom to be honest and not lie about anything that we understand about your love, Father God. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, man. So, I don't want to spend too much time talking about it, but well, we're up to five episodes about to drop.
Five comes out Thursday.
This is six we're talking about right here. It's moving like a freaking freight train down the tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Rather quickly.
It's also getting a little easier. There's some key things that are kind of starting to happen that I've noticed for myself, especially I'm starting to understand the scripture a little more.
Yeah. Heck yeah, that's growth.
You know what I mean? And I'm really kind of starting to understand the importance of this selfishly.
Right.
Selfishly speaking, I'm starting to understand the importance of this, the benefits that I'm getting from this. And I hate to sound like that, and I'd hate for the audience to hear it that way, but I would be lying to you if I didn't say that the more I feel like I'm getting from this, the better I feel like I'm going to be able to provide to you.
Right.
So that being said, I'm selfishly starting to get more out of this, you know what I mean?
Well, so real quick, we kind of wanted to run through a few things that people have been saying to us through, you know, people that are listening. First of all, one of my five children latched on to, I don't know if it was two or three when I was talking, I think it was episode two when I was talking about my writing and stuff and how I was kind of, I didn't like to share and things like that. And it was because of trauma that I had dealt with from people that I loved, like having a poor response to me.
Yeah, and I, just so everybody knows, I got a glimpse of his guitar skills on Sunday, and that was pretty freaking amazing too. So kudos.
Thanks, kudos. Man. It's fun. It's fun. I appreciate it. He gave me a little bow. So I just wanted to kind of share this real quick. He is also somebody who writes and he doesn't share. Yeah. And he said, you know, that's why I don't share with anybody either, because of that right there. You can literally wordsmith your innermost dark, sad or happy thoughts or trauma or whatever, and they disregard it or give you a what the is this reaction.
That he subtle said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're good. You're good.
That subtle dismissal.
Yep.
That you're explaining right now.
Yep.
Is heartbreaking.
It does. It hurts.
It's heartbreaking for me to hear that from, you know, to have heard you say that and to hear him saying that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just, it's heartbreaking to hear that.
It really is. It hurt my heart reading this. Yeah. He says it like this. He says, I chalk it up to envy. That envy is real and it's an evil thing. And the most evil part is envy comes from those who closest to you. It's a gift. Good and evil words are the most powerful thing we have. And if you are good with them, you can manifest and manipulate, create, or destroy.
Oh, yeah.
Well said, young man.
Yeah.
That was pretty.
Yeah, talk about bringing down an empire. I mean,
he got me.
It can. One. You look at how, you know, I don't know if I'm making the right reference to, like, Rome or anything, but if you look at all the great things going on in someone's life, how quickly they can be brought to their knees just by one bad story.
Right.
I mean.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So that's one. You had a friend as well. We talked about him also about he was getting baptized.
Yeah, so went to his baptism. I kind of aired it out a little bit there to him. And
yeah,
he was just kind of asking what all was going on. I kind of explained this kind of stuff to him, you know, what we were doing. And he didn't really get a chance to listen, I guess. And then, so I talked to him, yesterday.
Yeah.
And, I kind of explained to him what the podcast was about and everything. And,
right.
And he was all about it. And, you know, it's kind of funny cause he's like pretty freaking cool hearing my boy on the radio, you know, which, I love it. I mean, I have as many people as can hear this, it's an honor, you know, it's an honor to be in the position where
yeah.
maybe this does some good for somebody
yep.
Or maybe not, but
yeah,
you know,
so far I haven't heard anybody say that they weren't getting help. The last one I wanted to bring up was one that I got a few days ago from a young man that I actually served with in youth that is a part of our church and actually is an old friend of the family, of our wife's family, is the same age as my middle daughter, second daughter.
I know him. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So he texted me this Friday morning. He said, I finished episode 4 last night and it was absolutely amazing. People will tell y'all for a Christian podcast is too much, but always stay raw. Jesus' plans were not for us to stay hidden behind curtains. That's why when he gave his life for ours, the shroud tore. I was like, dang, bro. That's like, that's all those things are very touching so far.
And I can see that from episode 4.
Yeah, well, and we were talking about some spiritual warfare stuff.
And episode 4 is really...
Excuse me.
Episode 4 was it had some funny stuff in it too. You know, we talked about, you know, the how different we are in our comfort zones, and you know, when you go through something, you're pretty quick to just
I will vanish into thin air. Yeah. See ya.
And then we talked about me acting like a fool and breaking out a shotgun.
So
my house emptied.
I find it I've also had interactions with people not through text message or whatever. I've had people say, man, just how entertaining it is, how funny we are. I've had people tell us we just have great podcast voices. And I'm like, you know, hearing that, you're like, man, most of the time you don't like to hear your recorded voice.
Well, yeah, because here's something I can tell you right now. Every time I usually listen to mine while I'm working out. I usually listen to the podcast while I'm working out.
Yeah.
Well, I screwed that up. But when I do, my laugh and my voice, I'm always just like,
Well, our singing voice is busted out in 4.
That's why I keep backing away from the microphone when I laugh. I don't want people to hear that.
Come on. But having said all of that stuff, man, thank you to everybody who's given us some positive feedback. I want you to know that it is deeply felt, and we love it. We hope that you're sharing it with other people that are going to get some that you feel are going to get something out of it or be entertained by it. I've had people that are actually not really church people that are like, man, I really appreciate it. I love the way y'all deliver, the fact that you come from a place of just being real dudes.
This isn't just strictly for a church crowd. I mean, this is for everybody. I mean,
yeah.
If it helps you, it helps you. If it, yep. I mean, that's the key to this.
Yeah, for sure. That's what we want, or that's what we feel like God's call was. Is the anointing over it is to help people, including ourselves. You know, there have been moments where we had some recordings that didn't get put out because it ultimately ended up just being for you and me, really. You know what I mean? And so,
the last one was one of them just kind of helped us through a little episode.
Yeah. And today we're in a whole different place.
Yeah. So, which is good. I mean, the original episode 6 was at the time.
Yeah.
Very, very needy.
It was needed.
I mean, very needed. Came in a little emotional with that. My emotions kind of got all over the place. Conversation went everywhere, but I got to get everything off my chest. Was it for everybody else to hear? Absolutely not, because they'd have had a hard time following where we were going with everything.
I will say there was some good stuff in there, but I don't know that it was palatable to like a
group. Would have been pretty hard for someone to kind of pay attention to and keep up with.
Yeah, for sure. So having said all of that, man, I think that it really kind of brings up a really good moment to talk about the power of our words.
Yes.
Right. That started off, we started kind of talking about that and the last episode in episode 4, I guess. Sorry, the last one that was released.
Yeah.
In episode 4, when we went through this spiritual warfare situation and really started to kind of, you know, it's what am I saying to my enemy, right? Yeah. But what we're saying to each other, what we're saying about ourselves, all those things are a part of that story, that text from my son about how you can literally tear down or build up or, you know, manifest or manipulate just based off of the power of your tongue. And so let's go to the word. Let's go to God's word. Yeah. Let's find out how powerful that little muscle in your lips is.
Yeah, let's do it.
James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. This is why I always ask God to not let me lie.
Yeah.
Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Yeah. That's powerful, just thinking it that way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. It could control everything else about ourselves.
That's
pretty steep. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. There's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it's set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Check this out. So blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Surely, brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Man, it's really convicting.
It is. It's. Here's the problem. We're human.
Yeah.
We're human. That's the biggest problem. And that little wonder of flesh that's floating around in our faces that's lashing all this crap out.
Yeah.
10 times out of 10, when we're praising God and we're doing our worship and we're doing all this stuff, we're doing it strictly based upon the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Not every time.
Yeah.
But, you know, like praise and worship in church.
Yeah.
We're praising is because we're at the atmosphere we're in. When we're cursing people, it's the same way. It's the atmosphere we're in.
It's a consequence to someone else's action.
Yeah.
Or words.
It's a consequence to our own reaction.
Right.
Because here's the thing. We control it,
right?
But it's whether or not we can be responsible enough in our reactions, to say like, oh, hey, you know, like it's all right, bud. You know, go ahead, whatever. You know,
it's like we talked about with constructive response.
Yes,
constructive right.
And destructive
and destructive response. You know, usually destructive response comes from the hip, right? You don't think about it; you just do it. Well, it. Further, I don't know if it's either further on in James or before in James. James says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and thus slow to get angry, right? Which means basically if you'll listen first and shut up, you might not get angry so fast.
Yeah.
Right?
We talked about that too. I don't know if that's the episode that we scrapped, but we talked about when things really hit me and I get upset about something, I always do my three Mississippis.
Yeah, I think that was one.
One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. Usually by the end of it, I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But take figure out something that works for you, something that's going to help you kind of take time to calm down, because you don't want to react immediately, because it's going to be a reaction out of emotion.
Right. Well, if we're going to talk about this, we definitely have to talk about relationships, right? And so relationships are where this little thing gets really, really dangerous, right? And it's
the people that you care about the most are usually the ones that get the raw end of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing is we have to remember that we're not fighting each other, right? We're fighting against not flesh and blood enemies.
Yeah.
We're fighting against.
We do not wrestle with flesh and blood.
That's right. It's the things that are unseen, right? Yeah. It's thoughts that come into your head that get put into your head, intrusive stuff and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? Again, go back to spiritual warfare, man. What am I saying to that? What am I saying to the enemy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's amazing the difference in 2 weeks, too. You know, episode 5, we talked about how we fed off each other.
Yeah.
And we stood in victory. Episode 6, totally.
Sitting in defeat.
Sitting in defeat.
Yeah.
This one actually being the real episode 6, that's going to get released.
Yeah, I keep referencing episode 4. I think it's episode 5 where we're
episode
talking
about. Episode 5, yeah, is the one that we both kind of had the same interaction there in 2 days. But this episode is a completely different feeling,
yeah,
of victory as opposed to the last, yeah, week's recording that we scrapped. Simply because the emotions aren't all over the place. I think after hearing that,
yeah,
after hearing how that turned out, it really kind of opened my eyes to the whole perspective of, hey, like, this is important.
Yeah.
I don't need to let myself get, you know, all over the place. So this week's mentality and mindset is I feel like I'm standing in a place of victory again. Like it kind of got brought to my attention, like, hey bro, what are you doing? Like,
yeah. Well, and again, it goes back to, what are we saying? What are we saying to ourselves?
Yeah.
And something that I'm just going to reference it, something that, and I kind of started talking to you about this in the last recording, was you were saying the enemy's got me. He's just landing these blows and he's just jabbing me. Right. And I'm again, my responses aren't always what you want to hear, but you need to hear.
Yeah.
Like, why are you saying that?
Yeah.
Because he's already lost, right?
Yeah.
Stop acknowledging that his blows, and remember that no weapon formed against you can prosper.
Yeah. Right? I believe the exact words were, he's landing body shots.
He's landing body shots, and I did say those body shots can cripple you.
Yeah. But it's okay. I mean,
they take a toll.
They do tremendously. But this is a kind of a whole new take on this podcast for me.
Yeah.
Having felt so defeated and.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then come back into it this week and.
Yeah.
It's gone, you know.
Right.
It's not there anymore.
You move beyond it.
Yeah.
Well, and that kind of brings up the whole point about community, right? And how important community is, because that's a lesson that's been really hard for me to learn over time.
Yeah, the value of having someone there for you.
Yep.
I wouldn't have made it through any of it last week if I wouldn't have had you there for me.
Right. Well, me either.
I mean, I walked in like I looked like I got ran over by a train when I walked in, you know, head hanging down in sorrow. And
yeah, didn't really want to talk.
No.
For sure.
And then after it came out, it turned into. Yeah.
I think there's. it actually was good, but it was good to get it off. Get everything out there.
That's mainly it. It was just good to get it off my chest.
It's a good reminder to. Especially men, because we're so bad at this, to find somebody else that you can talk to.
Yeah.
Really talk to. Not just your BS, you know? Yeah. Not just.
And truthfully.
Honestly, as you can be.
I mean, it ain't easy.
Nope.
But, man, when they say the truth shall set you free, that is not a metaphor. That is real deal, real life.
Yep, that is chain-breaking stuff.
Oh, man, get it off your chest and just watch how light you feel. I mean,
I find it interesting because everything that the enemy's trying to do is he's trying to put you in a bondage. He's trying to put you in a prison of chains of your own self-doubt, of your own fears, of your own unbeliefs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's latching on to every little thing he can, especially when you start to fight him back.
Yeah.
Right? And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
We had this moment. Both of us had this moment of victory where I'm standing over him. I'm like, I got you, mother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I got you. I win.
Yeah.
I win.
Yeah.
And within 7 days, that was all the opposite, right? And that's where we have to remember, oh, I see what you're doing.
Isn't it crazy? 7 days made that big of a difference.
Yeah.
Man, 7 days. And I'll tell you, for up until that seventh day, I still felt like I was the victor. I still felt like I was I defeated him. Still felt like I actively hunted the enemy, and I was no longer the prey until
that day.
That day.
Yep. Well,
a lot of things weighed very heavy, and I told you I got some notifications on my phone.
Yeah, memory of one of your unalived friends.
Yep. That come up, and
yeah,
man, it just
it was that one thing, that feather that fell from the sky.
Landed, yep.
Here we go, referencing that again.
I'm gonna find that freaking cartoon, and I can't remember. I don't remember where I saw it, but I mean it, and it's old. It's an old black and white cartoon.
Yeah, you told me about it like early on when we very first started this.
Yeah,
and it just seems to apply. Because I think it applies so well
to everything.
Because it's what we live, right? As men specifically, we like to carry the burden. And, you know, I put the burden on my shoulders for everything because I don't want my wife to have to deal with it. I don't want my children to have to deal with it. That's my responsibility, right? Well, okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
But you can't carry it all. You know what I'm saying? You cannot carry it all. I don't know why, but I want to play this stupid TikTok. I know we're not – generally we don't do that. I saved it from earlier, and it's about giants, right? It's about David and Goliath and the skull of Golgotha, which is – or the hill of Golgotha, which is where Christ was crucified and all that stuff. It's a very interesting story, but the last thing he says – the very last thing he says is kind of apropos to what we're talking about right now. Okay, so just listen to this.
One of the things it said at the end of the story that I think people miss on a regular basis, it says that David took the head of Goliath and he took it to Jerusalem. That's just one of those things that you just sort of miss sometimes when you're reading. You can go look at it. It's there. I'm not making this up. He took the head of Goliath and he took it to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem at the time was a Jebusite fortress. It was not the city of David at the time. But it says that he took the head there. Now, what he would have done is he would have not been able to go inside the city. He would have been outside of the city. He'd have been outside of the city walls. And he would have done one of two things. He would have either put the head on a stick and the birds would have eaten it, or he would have buried the head. Now, what's important to that is this, is that David is burying, or he's putting the head of Goliath right outside of the city gates of Jerusalem. The reason that's important is because when we get to the New Testament, we're going to see that Jesus, when he is crucified, is taken outside of the city, and he is taken to a place called the Skull, or a place called Golgotha. You might hear in Golgotha, Goliath of Gath, the skull. David knew that at that place that he put Goliath's head, every giant that you and me would ever face would be slain.
Dude, think about that.
Oh, wow.
And that is in scripture. I looked it up too because I was like, I don't remember that. I don't remember it saying David took the head to outside the city of Jerusalem and, you know, left it there.
You imagine how big of a head that was? David was a little dude. I mean,
yeah.
As it's portrayed in the Bible, you know,
yeah,
he
for
was
sure.
smaller. He was a smaller guy and a young man at that.
He was. He was the youngest brother.
And he's, but, I mean,
it just rang so clear to me in that moment, right?
Yeah.
David, that place was called Golgotha because David took that skull there.
Yeah.
Right? This is a giant that was slain by somebody that shouldn't have been slaying giants,
yeah.
right? The last thing he said, though, David knew, and why wouldn't he? Because he was a man after God's own heart. David knew that this was the place where every giant we would ever face would be beaten and defeated by Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay. I know I'm going to butcher this scripture, but I've heard it 100 times.
Come with it.
It's when David first sees him, what does he say? Who is this uncircumcised
Philistine?
Philistine, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, instead of saying, "Oh my God, look, there's a giant," he's like, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?"
No, bro. He's straight up. What, bro? Yeah.
Who is
this fool? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's one of my favorite parts of the story. Just the sheer. Just the cojones on that kid.
Oh, straight up. But he got his strength from God, right? Like, he knew.
Yeah, he was walking in the power
of God. It was not about David. It was about my God. Who is this? Who is this that opposes my God?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And there's another part of that story where David took out 3 stones, right? He knew he was only going to need 1 stone to kill Goliath. So they're like, why did he need 3 stones? Well, if you paid attention in the story, he had 2 brothers. Goliath had 2 brothers. He's like, I'm going to get this dude, and if you come at me, I'm going to get you too.
Yeah. So I saw I want to say YouTube or TikTok or one of them of basically how the slingshot is that David carried. It is not a slingshot.
It's not like what you think.
No. This is like a leather whip that's about 5 to 10 feet in length.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes out of there, it's like a bullet. I mean, it is getting shot out of there.
Yeah.
I watched that dude do that, and he was throwing it. I want to say he was throwing it over like a creek bed.
Mm-hmm.
But they had like pottery.
Yeah,
stacked up right there, and he did it about 4 or 5 times in a row, and the aim that this dude—I mean, what I'm saying—like it looks like a lasso when the way he was swinging it over his head, and then that last little whip, he like kind of brought it down hip height, and then, it come out of there, and you just see an explosion from that one piece of pottery is just like
boom,
yeah.
So you can understand why it would have killed Goliath.
It makes sense now.
Yeah,
but at first I was like. Killed him with a freaking slingshot. Like, no, that slingshot is, it's a different kind of.
They didn't have rubber bands back then.
No, it was completely different than what, how the story makes it sound.
Right. But I just find it interesting because in my vision, like we're talking about standing in this victory, right? And then feeling defeated. We need to see that image in our head.
Yeah.
The image of that giant's head being buried. And all the giants that we would ever face being buried right there in the blood of Christ.
Here's something that I would like to challenge everybody to do. You and myself included. When you are having those kind of difficulties where you're feeling defeated, rather than sitting there and looking at it like a daunting giant, I want to challenge everybody to approach it in the manner of who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Booyah!
When your troubles and your problems are getting so heavy that you're losing focus, because man, that's what happens ultimately.
Yeah,
your problems and your troubles and everything, they get so heavy that you lose focus of the good things.
That's right.
Your head becomes overwhelmed with darkness and cloudy judgment and. You want to keep a clear head of the reason that you are favored.
Right.
And the reason we are favored is because just like the freedoms we endure today, it was paid for by the blood of someone else.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right. The freedoms that we enjoy right now was paid by the blood of somebody else. The freedom to be who we are, the freedom to know our God,
the freedom to come
boldly into the presence of God. Straight up through the blood of Christ. That's it. We don't get that.
And that's what I mean by that reference is just like the freedoms that we have today.
I want to make a t-shirt with a little dude with David with this giant head being put in the freaking ground.
And you know that head was as big as his torso.
Because he wasn't a big guy. God, right? I mean, that's crazy.
Jeez, man, like. Did you ever see that? Did you happen to see that pumpkin on my porch this Halloween?
Nah, I probably didn't come
around. So my mom and Champ, God, man, I think that's where my back injury came in.
Did you carve this bad boy?
Hey, no, man, but
my mom pulls up and she pops the hatch on her car, and here comes Champ running up with a pumpkin like this big. He's like, "Oh, yeah." And I was like, "Is that it?" He goes, "No."
Oh, no.
And so I went out there, and I mean, you know those big medicine balls?
Oh, no. Yeah, like a yoga ball?
Bro, I bet this pumpkin weighed every bit of probably 65 pounds.
Holy crap.
Dude, I mean, easily 30 to 36 inches in diameter.
Jeez. Easy.
And, I mean, just huge. Well, when Champ was standing there next to it, just the sheer size difference, I was looking at him. I was like, my kid's.
He hasn't grown yet.
Yeah, I mean, he's young. He's,
yeah.
But just watching him stand there next to it, that's how I can picture
David Goliath's head. That's hilarious.
That just gigantic freaking pumpkin, you know?
It's like two-thirds of his body size.
Oh, dude. I mean, it was on our porch. Champ would go out there and sit on it.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that thing's huge, dude.
So, having said all that, the power of our words, man, just be aware of your words. You know what? I think it's important to remind ourselves and to remind everybody that not just be aware of them, be calculated with them, right?
Yeah, and another thing, too, be very precise and mindful.
Yeah.
Of what you're saying, especially – you know, it goes to when you're speaking to anybody, but especially when you're speaking about events in your life, you can speak something into existence that doesn't need to be there.
That's right.
You can speak marriage problems. You can speak financial problems. You can
health
speak
problems.
Yes,
all that. Mm-hmm.
You can speak anything into your life that has no business being in your life just by getting lax with your tongue and your language.
That's right. There's a scripture. I don't know if this is exactly how it's worded, but it says something about out of the treasures of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yes.
Right. So it's about what's in your heart. If a lot of bad stuff is coming out of your mouth,
yeah,
you need to check your heart.
Yeah.
And going here. And look, okay, let's throw this on the table, okay? Obviously, I come from a Christian perspective. I am a follower of Christ. You are a follower of Christ. I don't care whether you believe it or not, if you're listening. I don't care if you believe it or not. I love you anyway. That's fine. Read this thing and tell me, starting in Matthew, just start in the book of Matthew and read to the end, and tell me how following the principles are is bad for your life.
Can you pull up that video?
We'll have to look it up. Keep talking while I look it up.
Okay. The reason I say this is because it is so.
Brad Stein.
Yes.
Keep talking.
It is so amazing how he breaks this down into layman's terms. Like he explains it in such a great way.
Let me see. Just keep talking. You're good.
He explains it in such a great way that you have no choice but to believe it. You know what I mean? I mean,
let's see. Can we get this to work properly? We don't always have the best of luck, so just bear with us here.
Yeah, it's
all right. Let's do it.
Hopefully, this
Brad Stein. Online store. You get all the credit.
Oh yeah, man. This dude is a genius with this.
Sales and inventory.
And yes, we're on YouTube.
I believe in Jesus. I believe in him. And there's a lot of people that don't, and he gives you the right to do that.
That's
why I
love this.
But I just want you to know that faith does have purpose and value, and it can be used intellectually. And people say, yes, what's the difference? You know, what, the Bible's just another book. No, first off, that's wrong. The Bible's not a book. The Bible's 66 books. 40 different people wrote it. Over 1,500 years. There's never been a book like that in history. Ever. Does that make it the Word of God? No. It just means it's worth considering, because there's never been a book like this. Gives you some reason to consider it over the others. Well, how about history? For hundreds of years, archaeology has used the Old Testament and New to find buildings, to find people, to find civilizations, to find kings that didn't exist or they didn't think they did. And suddenly the Bible said they're there, and they dug it up, and there it was. Does that make it the Word of God? No. It means it's historically accurate. Real people really existed and really wrote down what they saw. It's worth considering. And then they said, we're going to have God show up. And lots of people said that. Lots of religions say it. Don't worry, we'll prove it, as a rational God would do. I will do prophecies. I will show that I'm not trapped in linear time, that I can see beyond where you are. I will give prophecies to tell you what the guy, when I show up and God appears on earth to reveal himself, I'll show you what he's going to look like. Over 300 prophecies. And then a man showed up one day named Jesus. And he said, I'm that guy. And he fulfilled all 300 prophecies. That's impossible. People could say, well, yes, they just wrote it afterwards and filled it all in. But we know that the first Greek translation of the Old Testament was done 250 years before Jesus was born.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So how could they possibly know that he'd be born in Bethlehem? How could they possibly know he was going to be crucified when crucifixions didn't even exist as a capital punishment yet? How could they know that he'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver 250 years before there was a Jesus? Does it make it the word of God? No, but it's
I mean, come on.
And then Jesus said he would fulfill these things and did miraculous things to prove I'm not just a guy talking like everybody else. Look what I've done. And some people believed and some didn't. That's how humans are. And then he said this, I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to die. And I'm going to come back to life. Nobody's ever done that.
Nope.
And he died. And all those who were with him, 3 years, ran in fear, as would all of us.
Yes, sir.
And they ran away and they said, I guess we were wrong. And then something happened. Something happened that made all of these guys come back and be willing to be martyred for this belief system, mm-hmm. except for one. Of course, John was sent off, but everybody died a martyr's death. What was it for? Because they thought they were going to get rich. There was no riches here.
That's right.
There was no riches. The Roman government hated them. They wanted them destroyed. They'd use them as people that could be eaten alive by animals for sport and entertainment. You were kicked out of your culture. The Jews weren't going to take you in. So there was no value there. There was nothing good here. There was nothing here to gain. And they all still died for what? Because they found a new religion? No, for one reason. They said this. I saw him die, and I saw him come back.
Mic drop.
I mean, what else is there to say,
There's
brother?
There's nothing left to say.
And again, we talked about, I mean, yeah, it gets a little dusty in here when I start thinking about that and thinking about what Christ actually did for us, man, and what these dudes who were broken, just like you and me, and followed him as best as they could while he was here, and then tried so hard to expand his kingdom on earth and bring people in and all those kinds of things. And then they died these awful, awful, awful deaths. And, you know, we tried to look it up and, you know, it's all about history and, you know, it's really hard to find all the facts. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's not all scriptural based. And I tried to lean on that. Right. But it's well accepted historically that all but one of the 12, well, two of the 12, the original 12, died awful, painful deaths of different kinds.
Yes.
Stoning, beheaded, boiled in oil.
Who was it
crucified.
Got stoned and lived?
That is biblical. I can find that in the book of Acts. That was Paul.
Yeah. Got stoned and lived.
He survived. You know what I'm saying?
Only to die later. I mean,
and the whole point, the whole reason that they died that way is because they refused to say that they lied.
Yeah.
Doing that for a freaking lie.
No, you're taking that to the grave because you know it's the truth. Look,
I think that's where that saying comes from.
Here's something that I would say. That being me.
Yeah.
Let's just say I'm Peter by chance.
Yeah.
That being me, seeing everything that he did, all the knowing.
Yeah.
All the stuff that he's done, knowing who he is, because at that point you know who he is.
Yeah.
Like you've watched all this. He's told you, cast your net on this side of the boat and it's full. It's about to flip the freaking boat over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, you know who he is.
Yeah.
He is
yes.
the Messiah.
The way, the truth, and the life.
Baby. Absolutely.
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't care if it takes you 34 days to kill me.
That's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt and it's going to suck. But that's a short little time to suffer for an eternity of
peace,
greatness,
joy, being in his presence.
For an eternity of greatness. That is amazing. 3, 4, 5, 10,
yeah,
whatever. Because eventually at some point, I mean, I'm sorry, the human body takes over.
Yeah.
It finds ways to numb the pain and
the beauty of God's creation is that it knows when it's ready to shut down.
You might still be alive, but you ain't really feeling it. You ain't there. You know what I mean?
You're so far past pain at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, do whatever you need to do. I don't care.
It's just wild to me, man. And again, like I said, if you choose not to believe, that's okay. Like he said, that's your right.
He makes us that way.
He allows it. Right? Why? Why does he allow it? Because he doesn't want fake love.
He wants the true and uncontested love.
You know what he wants? He wants exactly what you and me want. Yep. He wants real love. Yep. I'm sorry. No relationship. I know there's a lot of people out there with a lot of different views on love, and I know men get numb to this kind of stuff, and they're not sensitive and all those kinds of things, and whatever. I don't care. Let me tell you something.
Would you be sensitive to all the crap that there is out there now, though?
No.
You know what I mean?
Not all of it. But I'm just saying, no man, no woman enters into a relationship hoping not to get love.
Absolutely.
Get out of here.
No one does.
Come on, man. You're looking for validation. You're looking for love. You're looking for value.
You're looking for partnership.
You're looking for partnership.
Companionship.
Like,
you're looking
for... I'm not talking about sex, guys. I'm talking about relationship.
Yeah. Like, you're...
Sex is easy.
Yeah. That's the... don't last long.
It's the same outcome no matter what. I mean, yeah.
That was really stupid.
The ending. But the thing is the ending is always the same. So what's the value?
Here's what I'll say. When for any young men out there listening, when picking your partner, pick your partner based on faith.
Start there. Yeah.
Pick your partner based on someone that God puts in your life to make you better.
Yep.
I mean, I would love to sit here and say that God didn't put my wife into my life to make me better, but I would be bold-faced lying to everybody listening and to you.
Me too.
My life is a million times better than it ever has been, strictly from one time.
Okay, let's prop up. I'm going to prop up my wife for 5 seconds, okay? Take the conversation we had about the discouragement given me by people that I love, like my mom, my first wife, other people that experienced works of my heart, like my poetry and things like that.
Yeah.
At this specific point, if that happened coming from my wife now, I would kill myself because that would hurt way worse. Because you know why? I've never... ever in my life had anybody that supported me in this way ever. Anything I say, babe, I think I'm going to do a podcast. Oh my God, you should do that.
Yeah.
I think you'd be great at that.
Not only did she say, I think you should do that.
She pushed it.
She started rounding up listeners. As soon as we had our first episode out, I was there with her at the bowling alley when she went up to Leroy. I was like, bro, like
she should be a salesman.
Oh, I know.
She just started pushing, and she started pushing me, and she's given me more and more confidence, right? I call her my backbone, right? Because with her, I'm that much more powerful. I'm that much more bold, that much more brave.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I know you feel the same way about your wife, you know what I'm saying? In a different ways, maybe.
Yeah.
We have a different, like, my experience is different than your experience. Yeah. But for me, this doesn't exist without my wife.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't. Bible study on Mondays. Doesn't exist without her. Podcast on Tuesdays. Bible study on Wednesdays. Doesn't exist without her. Me being on the altar ministry doesn't exist without her. Me working with kids doesn't exist without her.
Yeah.
That's what God did. And you know what? It's. Can I be of the world and look at other females around the world and be like, man, that's pretty nice. I could. But I am not. I refuse to throw all that God has done for me away just so I can have a... It's the same every time. It doesn't change.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
It's not going to help my heart.
Yeah.
That's a physical thing.
It's actually not gonna. It's gonna taint your. It's gonna stain your heart.
It is. It's gonna hurt me more than it's gonna help.
It's gonna stain your heart. And then plus two, you know, I don't know the exact scripture, but when a man commits, how's this go? When a man commits adultery, the two are joined.
Well, so what you're talking about is two becoming one.
Yes.
Right.
And so when a man commits adultery,
you're essentially becoming one with another.
With another, yes. That's kind of what I was getting at.
I don't remember the scripture either. I know what you're talking about.
I butcher it. I butcher scripture every time, but I know it's there.
Hey, but you know what?
It's up here.
What did we say? Out of the treasures of a heart, the mouth speaks. So it's in your heart, and that's really where it starts, right? Yeah. And you know what? Again, I know a lot of scripture. I almost never know how to find it. I have to look it up.
Yeah. I will say this. I'm also starting to get where when people read it or we talk about it, I understand it more.
Yeah.
The intake is being converted into a language that I can comprehend. You know what I mean? Because at first it was very hard. It was very, very hard for me to understand. You know, I would have to, a lot of the times what we'd do when we were doing Bible studies on Mondays, which we still do, but right now we're kind of doing this Chosen series. Whatever we read at the table, I would go home, and I would always have to have my Bible app read it to me. But I'd have my Bible app read it to me while I was, you know, hanging around in my bedroom. Sometimes I'll go to my closet and just kind of sit there for peace and quiet for a minute, and I would let that play back. To kind of see why does it sound like that to me here?
Right.
You know what I mean? And in doing that, I think I'm starting to kind of break down the barriers of being able to actually understand the scripture. Plus, you know, the New Living Translation is the way to go. For you, it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only way that I can understand it.
Well, and, you know, I think too, it comes to, it's a matter of growth, man. What are we talking about? There's another scripture. To seek him wholeheartedly and you will find him.
Yes.
Right? You're committed to the seeking. Right? Let me tell you something. This is an interesting thought. I don't know. there are atheists who have spent their life committed to proving God wrong. Is that not seeking God?
Yeah. And I'm sorry if it takes your whole life to try to prove him wrong, and you know they haven't,
or to prove that he didn't exist,
and you know that they haven't.
Yeah.
Well, then at that point you're a believer.
You've been looking for him in all the places.
You're a believer.
Yeah.
You have to be a believer.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. That's crazy.
You're kicking down and tearing down, and you're fighting through the storms, and you're doing everything you can to disprove this man, and you cannot find it. You cannot do it.
The further and further I get into this thing, man, and look, I've known God my whole life, right? Not my whole life, but I would say that I've been a follower my whole life, but I've not always been a committed follower, right? Not like nothing like I am right now.
It's pretty easy to lose traction. Look, this is an
uphill. You and I both know that.
This is an uphill climb forever, and it forever will be. And once you let doubt creep into your mind, or the enemy creep into your mind, or lies creep into your mind, or anything that's really going to screw up your walk, you're going to start losing traction, and it's going to make it that much harder.
Well, this where not only your relationship with God, but your relationship with community. Yeah. This is where that gets really more important, because like last week, right? That was a moment you could have backslid instantly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you already said that, like, if this wasn't taking place, if this relationship wasn't happening, what's going to happen? Yeah. You would have.
Yeah.
You would have gone right back to where you started.
Yeah.
And all of the work that you had put in and all of the effort that you have put into knowing God, and you know you're on fire for him. He's got you.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, let's go. Come on. And all that. back to square one.
Yeah, it
back to a,
it
just
would have been the equivalence of hitting the reset button.
Yep, back to unsalted salt.
Yeah.
Unsalty salt.
Yeah.
Right?
What? How did that go?
He said something like, if there's a scripture, I can find it. It's in the Beatitude. It's the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, I believe.
What fine, good? What look. Good is what good is
salt if it salt loses its flavor?
If it loses its flavor, yeah.
Oh, well, now man. That you mentioned it, we gotta find it.
What's Well, the things we set each other up for.
You set them up and we knock them down, baby.
Matthew 5, 13 through 16?
Yeah, let's look at that. Let's see what that says. Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to switch it to New Living and start with
5, 13 through 16.
Okay. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless.
Yeah.
Right? I always love, you are the light of the world. He's talking to you and me, man.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a whole bunch of different things that are going to come out over time, but I've talked about a measure of faith before, right? The light is in us. It's already there. God implanted us before we were even born with what we call the measure of faith. Yeah. We said the faith of a mustard seed can say to this mountain, jump and get out of the way and woof, right? We can say to this fig tree to be uprooted and tossed into the ocean and it will go.
Yeah.
Mustard seed, right? Then it says that we were given a measure of faith. I don't know what a measure is, but I would venture to guess that it's a minimum of a mustard seed.
Oh yeah, I don't know if any of y'all have seen a mustard seed, but it's tiny.
It's not big.
Yeah.
No, it's about this. You know what? I would equate it to
sesame seed or something
smaller than that, about a poppy seed.
Yeah,
about like a poppy seed, little bitty.
Completely off topic, but is that where they get ground mustard from?
Yeah. That's how they turn it into mustard with those little seeds.
Well, because
I guess I don't.
I was watching a guy. Have you ever heard of the Outdoor Boys?
I probably have.
He does, like, he goes on these camping adventures out there in the wilderness. Just nothing but like a sleeping bag and a tarp, and he goes out where it's 6 feet of snow in Alaska, and
yeah.
Cooks and he does all this crazy stuff, right? I mean, and that's what he says. That's what he cooks with, is ground mustard. And of course, I love mustard.
Yeah,
and that's all I can think is, like, where can I get said ground mustard?
It's gonna be powder.
Yeah,
it's gonna be powder. It's not gonna be moist. So you probably have to add some water to it.
Yeah, but he does it. He uses it in his stew.
Interesting.
In his soups and stuff like that. And dude, this man throws steak, a ribeye. Looks like a bone-in ribeye. The coals that he has sitting there warming up his pot of beans, he just throws the steak in the coals.
Just drops it in there.
Just throws it in there.
Eats the coals and everything.
He said when the steak's cooked, the coals don't stick. So he'll pick it up, put it back down, pick it up, and then flip it over. The coals don't stick.
What?
And then dude just picks it up and like it ain't nothing.
Okay, now we're going to have to do this.
I'm telling
just
you,
because
he makes bread the same way. He takes, he gets bread dough. He gets Gouda cheese.
Ooh, Gouda cheese.
Tears open this ball of bread dough, stuffs a chunk of Gouda in there, makes a big old ball, buries it in the ash.
That's freaking awesome.
And leaves
dude.
It for like 25 minutes, dude, and then pulls it out of there, and it's a freaking ball of bread full of Gouda cheese.
Oh, that is so awesome, dude.
I want to learn to do it because that's like caveman living, you know?
I know, right? Hey, what I was going to say too earlier, it came into my head and I didn't say it out loud, was...
Sorry, that was completely off topic.
That's all right. It's all right, though. This is fun. And now I'm like thinking of cool things that we should do on the weekends.
We're digging holes in our backyard to make campfires.
Make roasted bread with Gouda and all this cool stuff.
I'll show you that video tonight.
Hey, before I forget, man, like, so we played a couple of videos. They don't belong to us. We don't have the rights to that stuff. Ben Stein, yes. Ben Stein's description of the Bible, and then Dr. Chip Bennett, I believe it was, on this TikTok deal. I don't know that it really matters in today's day and age, but what he, as far as the credits and all that stuff, but Dr. Chip Bennett, yeah, his discussion about the skull.
This is none of our content.
Yeah.
This is...
All the conversation is.
The videos, the kind of the background stuff you hear, it's not our content. So, you know, anybody that does know these fine men and it does get out to them, we were praising your intelligence on the situation.
Yeah. Thank you for expanding our minds.
Yeah, we were not trying to take your words and use them for our own.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Man, I don't know that there's another topic that needs to move on today. I really don't. I feel this
was a good one.
It's fantastic. What I will say today is this is episode 6. So
episode 6.2.
Looking forward.
Just kidding. Looking forward
to episode 7. We will be discussing a living sacrifice and what that looks like.
Yeah.
Look, guys, I want everybody to understand, like, we don't never know. Come on, John. You're supposed to be linguistically
We never know the timeline or the circumstances on how long these are going to take.
That's right. We never understand how long it's going to be, so we just kind of go with it.
Plus, we'll be right back in here tomorrow.
We're going to do back-to-back. 7th, yes, sir.
So
we need stuff to talk about tomorrow. We can't waste it all today. Or not waste it all, but I need to be more careful with my words.
So tomorrow, two things.
Okay.
Three things for the listeners for episode 7. I want to touch on the meaning of living sacrifice.
Right.
Did we not have somebody ask us about grace?
Yes, same person.
Wanting us to expand on grace.
Yes.
So I really feel like we need to take that on in episode 7.
Yep.
And then me and you talked about this Sunday.
Uh-huh.
I believe it's Sunday. Love.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I think that's one that we really should.
Yes.
I think that could be our episode 7.
Okay. So before we close this bad boy out, I've got a couple of things.
You got some good ones, too. You got some gems.
Did you have one specific that you liked?
Actually, you know, the it's not stupid if it works.
Yeah. Here's bumper sticker wisdom for this week. If it's stupid but it works, it isn't stupid.
There you go. That's it.
Man. All right. I also wanted to let everybody know we have an email address for you. If you want to reach out to us, send us an email, send us a question, send us a comment, whatever. If you're not willing to interact on the Q&As, that's okay.
Also, too, for you guys, if you're struggling, if you need a prayer, if you're struggling in life, between the two of us, I would say that we can help anybody with anything.
That's right.
We talked in one episode about if anybody out there felt like giving up, that life wasn't worth living anymore.
Right.
Don't do that. Hit that email.
Yep.
I'll get in touch with you. I will call you personally. I will help you. It's a tragic event for friends and family to lose a loved one.
Yeah.
To most of the time, just a moment of being lost.
Yeah. It's a reminder that there is hope, and if you're looking for hope, I got some for you because it's here.
And Brother John, he, if you need prayer, man, I'll tell you what, there is not a single person that I will go to over you. So
I appreciate that.
I'm not trying to toot your own horn or nothing, but beep, beep.
Hop on the train, baby.
There we go.
So our email address is going to be bswunbound80. That is bswunbound80 at gmail.com.
There you go.
We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'm John.
I'm Jason.
Good night.